Today our scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to add my welcome to you this morning. Good to see everybody. It's been a great day because this was our first Sunday to be able to return back to Sunday school classes, and it was so neat to be able to walk through what has been empty for almost 6 months to see actual people in classrooms, and to see you here today. What a great day it is. We just celebrate. I'm so glad that you're here today to worship with us. As we also are glad to have those who are worshiping online, as we continue to do that, we hope that you are blessed in the service we're worshiping with us too. As we have heard this reading from God's Word, let us now seek its meaning and its understanding for our life today. So I want to invite you just to pause, and let's ask for God's Holy Spirit to help us in that. You pray with me? Lord God, we ask that you would help us to focus on you now and your Word. There are so many things, God, in our lives personally and the world around us that would distract us and pull us apart from that. I pray, God, that you would help us to put aside all distractions, to listen to your Spirit that wants to speak to us, that wants to make us new, that wants to heal us and reconcile us. So come, Holy Spirit, enable me to proclaim your word in a way that glorifies you, God, and that we're all drawn closer in our relationship with you. Open our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we are in the third and final week of a series of sermons. We've been talking about our real ID, our real identity. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been exploring and rediscovering who we really are in Christ Jesus. Because when we begin to understand, when we realize and claim our true identity, then it empowers us to be the people that God created us to be. In week one, we looked at our position in Christ, how we are who God made us to be. We are who God says we are. We have been made into new creations through Christ. Our relationship with God has been made right through the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. And part of our new identity in Christ is that we are now called to be God's ambassadors, God's representatives to the world around us. That's a big part of who we are. It's a part of our real ID. And then last week, we looked at our potential in Christ, that we are more than conquerors through him whose Spirit is at work in our life, empowering us with all that we need to live up to our potential in Christ and to do whatever God is asking us to do. Again, that's a big part of who we are. And in each of these messages, I was really kind of foreshadowing what we're going to be talking about today. Because today we're going to be looking at how your position in Christ and how your potential in Christ contributes to your purpose in Christ. There's a passage that we find in Paul's letter to Ephesians that is one that we've all heard before. It is a very familiar passage, and we've actually been using it as part of this series. It's found in chapter 2, verse 8, where Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of work, so that no one may boast." And that's a verse that really helps us to understand who we are in Christ. But today we're going to be focusing on the verse that comes right after that, verse 10. Because I think it really sums up all that we've been talking about in this series, where Paul says, "We are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." So as we wrap up this idea of who we are in Christ Jesus, today we're going to be looking at how our real ID in Jesus comes alive when we begin to try to fulfill the purpose that God has created us for. A couple of weeks ago, we began by talking about how God made us into a new creation in Christ, that we were once dead to our sins. We were once separated from our relationship with God and with who we were created to be. But by grace, we have been saved through faith. We have now been given new life. The old has passed away, and now everything has become new. We are new creations in Christ. children of God. And that the Greek word that's used for the very first part of that verse that we have for this morning, where it says, "For we are what He has made us," that actually can be translated in a variety of different ways. In fact, there's a lot of variations to this verse, depending on which version of the Bible you read. As Paul describes our new identity in Christ, the English Standard Version translates this verse by saying, "You are God's workmanship." The New International Version says, "You are God's handiwork." The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, "You are God's creation." The New Living Translation says, "You are God's masterpiece." I love that translation. And in the Good News Translation says, "God has made us what we are." And then in the version we're using today, the New Revised Standard Version, it says, "We are what He has made us." And all of those versions are true. God has made us who we are and what we are. But God didn't stop there. God is still making you who you can be. In other words, you are God's work and progress. You know, the end goal for us as Christians is not just to be saved by God's grace through faith. That's just the beginning of our life in Christ. Now, you are God's work and process. For those of you who have smartphones, I think most all of us have smartphones these days. And have you ever noticed how the apps on your smartphones are always needing to be updated? I mean, there's not a day goes by. Some of these apps, I think, have to be updated almost every day. And every day I'm having to update the apps on my phone. And that's because the creators of those apps are always making these little adjustments, little tweaks and fixes. It's a never-ending process of trying to make their product better and more improved for their users. Well, in a similar way, our Heavenly Father, I think, does the same for us. It's like that little song that we were taught when we were children. "God's still working on me." You remember that song? "He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. He took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be, because He's still working on me." Remember that song? How true that is. But we need to be clear about something. God loves you just as you are. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than He loves you right now. You are His creation. You are His handiwork, His masterpiece. But you are also His work in progress. As we saw in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 last week, God created you to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So part of our purpose in life is to become more like Jesus every day of our lives. That's the direction God is trying to take you in. In our church, we refer to that as the process of sanctification. That is how God's grace and how God's Holy Spirit is at work in your life, helping you to become more like Jesus every day. And that's a journey that lasts an entire lifetime. It doesn't just happen overnight. So part of your purpose in being a new creation in Christ is to recognize that you are God's work in progress. It's a never-ending process. The second truth that we remember, I think, is that you are part of God's plan. That you are part of God's plan. In other words, when you recognize who you really are, your real identity in Christ, then you begin to realize that you were created not by accident or without purpose, but that you were created for a reason. God has a plan for your life. And often when we think about what is God's plan for our lives, we're reminded of that passage that we read in the book of Jeremiah. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And this promise is absolutely true. You can build your life upon that promise. But I want you to know that this isn't the limit of God's plan for your life. I mean, His plan is for your life is about more than just prosperity and hope. His plan for your life includes the good that you will do today and every day of your life. This is what Paul is really getting at in the text that we have before us today, where he says, "For we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." And I think the key verse in this passage is that part where it says, "which God prepared beforehand. This to be our way of life. I think that speaks to the fact that God has a plan for your life. And God has a direction that He wants you to take. God's got a call that He wants you to pursue. He's got a job that He wants you to do. God has a plan for your life. He created us for a purpose. And to be clear, we don't pursue that purpose as some way to try to attain God's love or get God to love us more or to grant us salvation or favor. As I said, God loves you now more than anything you can imagine. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than He loves you right now. But from the very beginning of life, His plan for us is that we would have a unique part in the building of His kingdom here on earth. Remember how in week one of this series, we talked about this, how we have now this call to be God's ambassadors, God's representatives to the world, that we are called to let the world know about God, to let the world know about His love and His grace and His mercy and what He's done for this world through Jesus Christ. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God reconciled us to Himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling this world unto Himself. So we all have a role to play in the purposes of God for this world. And I hear people all the time kind of bemoaning the fact that I don't know what my purpose in life is. I don't really know what I'm really supposed to do in life. And they can't figure out their purpose, and so they end up looking in all the wrong places. And they end up being unfulfilled and disillusioned. Listen, we can never experience a sense of peace and the yearnings of our souls until we begin to pursue the purpose that God has created us for. You hear that? We will never experience a sense of peace within the yearning in our souls until we begin to pursue the purpose for which God has created us for. Your real ID is that you are God's creation, a new creation in Christ. You are an ongoing, never-ending work in progress where God is trying to help you to become more like Jesus every day of your life. And God created you for a purpose, that good works would be your way of life. And when it comes to fulfilling this purpose in Christ, we have to realize that your purpose starts now. It's not something we delay. Your purpose starts now. In other words, you're already on the job. When I was younger, applying for jobs, whenever I was called in for an interview, I always looked for that one question to be asked, when can you start? You know, I always look forward to that question, when can you start? And of course, the answer that they're looking for is right away, I can start. I mean, there was one time I was applying for a job, and the owner of the company asked me that question, when can you start? And I said, well, right now. He said, good, go out back where they'll put you to work. I mean, right now for him meant right now. And I think this is how it works also with our Heavenly Father. God has a job for you to do, and He wants you to start right now, today. In our text today, Paul says, God created us for the purpose of doing good works, to be our way of life. And this is not something we strive to attain somewhere off in the future, but rather, it is to be our way of life today. One of my favorite descriptions of the ministry and life of Jesus comes from Peter in a sermon he preached in Acts chapter 10. And as he's describing the life and ministry of Jesus, he says this, Jesus went around doing good. That's all he said. Jesus went around doing good. Now we know that there's a whole lot more to say about Jesus' life and ministry than just that. And yet, what a wonderful way to summarize it, that he went around doing good. And as we have learned, God expects the same thing of us. God intends for us to be imitators of Christ, to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, to go about doing good as Christ did. In other words, to go around doing good. And right now, that may seem a bit challenging. with the circumstances we're under. And many of you may be one of those. We're all having to set our limitations about what we can, who we can talk to, where we go, where we go about. And you may be isolating yourself from this pandemic and not able to get out and do the things that you normally do or encounter the people that you would like to encounter. But listen, you need to remember that wherever you are, whatever circumstance you're in, there's always the opportunity to do good. And you can do things like you can try to make the loads of those around you lighter in some way. Help them out. I mean, even those in your family. You can send emails. You can make phone calls. You can actually have discussions with people, at least from a safe distance. You can give financially to those who are in need, such as hurricane victims or some other cause that you want to support. There is good that you can do even in the circumstances that we're in. And, you know, with all that we're seeing in our world today, especially in our nation, how desperate we need people who are willing to go around doing good. Now, there are some people who seek God's purpose as if it's some kind of secret code or secret map or some kind of blueprint or some secret document that they have to discover and to figure out what it is. And while there is a big picture to God's plan for your life, never lose sight of the fact the most important part of God's plan for your life is found in the answers to some very simple questions that you can ask yourself every day. Such as, what good thing can I do today? What good thing can I do today? What good thing can I do in this very moment? How can I bring Christ into this conversation? How can I demonstrate God's mercy in this situation? What good thing can I do? You see, God's plan for your life is not about something that's going to happen off in the future sometime, such as, you know, I'll get around to God's purpose or plan for my life after I graduate, or after I get married, or after I get that job that I'm trying to find, or after I move here, or after this pandemic is over, then I'll get pursuing that. God's plan for your life includes today. Today. Your purpose starts now. So, let's roll up our sleeves and let's get busy doing all the good that we can, wherever we can, to whomever we can. For this is God's purpose for your life. If you remember, those of you who were with us when we started this series, I began by telling a story about a woman named Sarah Jane Olson. Do you remember her? She was the one that was a fugitive for over 20 years, running from her criminal past, pretending to be someone that she wasn't. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who tend to live that way, who are running from their past mistakes, who are hiding from their past, confused about who they really are. But today, I want to end this by giving you the story of another woman named Sarah. Her name is Sarah Culberson. Sarah was born in 1976 in West Virginia. Shortly after she was born, she entered into foster care. After about a year in foster care, she was adopted by a loving family. Both the parents were teachers, and she actually grew up as an active member of the United Methodist Church there. And like most children, when she got older, she began to wonder about her heritage, about where she was from, who her parents were. And so after she graduated from college, she hired a private investigator to go find something out about her biological parents. And she discovered that her mom had died of cancer back in the early 90s. But it was what she discovered about her father that changed her life forever. For you see, it turns out Sarah was not just a young woman from West Virginia. She was actually a part of royalty. She found out that her father was a ruling member of the Mende tribe in Sierra Leone. And so she was actually a princess and didn't know it. And after finding this out, she began to correspond with her father, and eventually the father invited her to come to Africa and to meet her family. And when she made the trip, she was greeted with a royal welcome. I mean, hundreds of people came out to greet her, and she said it was like a dream. She said, I kept asking myself, who am I that deserve this? I mean, I'm just little Sarah from West Virginia. The truth is, she was not just Sarah from West Virginia. In Sierra Leone, she is Princess Esther Elizabeth. And she lived her whole life not knowing that she was a part of this royal family, a princess in disguise. She didn't know who she really was until she discovered her real identity, her real ID. Today, she lives an amazing life. She's an educator like her foster parents. She's a public speaker. She keeps in close relationship with her family in West Virginia, of course, but also with her community and family in Sierra Leone. And I just love this story because it is so similar to our story. For there are many of us who never fully grasp an understanding of who we really are in Christ Jesus. For we too are part of a royal family. We have a royal heritage. We are children of the King, God's children. But God wants you know, sometimes we begin to think we're more like that other Sarah. That fugitive who was running from her past with so much to hide. Our identity often becomes tied to the mistakes of our past. And God wants you to know that you are no longer a fugitive with a past to hide or to put down, to live down. Rather, you are a part of royalty with a future to live up to. Your life is no longer about the person that you used to be. Rather, it is now about the person that God is creating you to be. You are a new creation in Christ, set free from your past. That is your position in Christ. You are more than a conqueror, empowered to fully live as the person God created you to live victorious. That is your potential in Christ. And you have been given a purpose. Created with a purpose in life, the call to be like Jesus, to go around doing good like Jesus did, to be imitators of God, bringing glory to the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, everywhere you go. This is your purpose and God. And that job, it begins today, right now. Let's pray. God, it is so easy for us to become confused in the world that we live in about who we really are, what we're supposed to really be doing. There's so many voices within us and around us that call us into different directions, help us to perceiving ourselves in ways that are not godly. So God, we ask for forgiveness, for being distracted and misled by the other voices and the other things. Even, God, we often view ourselves as being tied to our mistakes of the past. We know, God, we hear this word that we are forgiven by what your Son Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. We have been made new creatures. We have a purpose and a future to embrace. And with the help of your Holy Spirit, we can become the people you created us to be, who we really are. God, help us boldly claim that today. Help us go forth in this place, seeking to be who you created us to be so we can impact this world as your ambassadors, your representatives, that others might come to know who they are, who they can be in Christ Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.